All right, so there is no better way for us to start this morning than to open God's Word. And I would love for us to open in Luke chapter 24. If you have your Bible with you in your phone or in whatever version you like better, if you can open with me, because I believe we could just like read this portion of Scripture, and at the end, we could just say like, amen, amen, and amen. And I'm so glad that we came here for that. Just like God's precious word. Luke 24, it's the account of the resurrection. And it goes like this. That's why we are here this morning. Luke chapter 24, starting on verse 1. It goes like this. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spice that they had prepared, and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but they entered, and they did not find the body of Jesus Christ. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners. He must be crucified and on the third day raise again." And they remember his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanne, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seems to be like nonsense. I mean, think about it. They were so excited that they couldn't even like make sense. Peter, remember, this is the Peter that denied Jesus. I don't know him. Peter, when he heard that, he got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen laying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself. What had happened? Verse 13. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along them, but they could not recognize him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, and their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And the man asked, "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus, the Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, power in words and in deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and all the rulers hand him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find the body of Jesus. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they didn't see Jesus. And he said to them, this man, How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets has spoken? Did not the Messiah had to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses, through the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went and he stayed with them. Verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and began to give to them. And at that moment, their eyes were open and they recognized him and he disappeared from his sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked and walked with us in this road, opening up the scripture to us? They got up and they returned back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. It is true. The Lord has risen and he has appeared to Simon." Then the two men told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? You have doubts in your minds and hearts. Look at my hands and look at my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that it's written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, "This is what it's written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are my witness of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And when he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and he was taken up into heaven. And they worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem with joy. And they stay continually at the temple, praising God. Now, I know that this was a bunch of verses, but it is so amazing how this historical account of this event has changed everything. I mean, think about this. Even time now, it's counted differently. You know, it is before Christ and it is after Christ because of the resurrection. Everything changed. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is for sure the very truth that serves us as an anchor to our soul. It is this cornerstone of faith for all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus, he proved with his resurrection to the whole world that in fact, he was the Son of God. The resurrection, it was so important that the Apostle Paul, when he was explaining and talking to the church in Corinthians, he said this in 1 Corinthians 15:14. He said, if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is foolish and useless. Your faith is useless if Christ has not risen from the dead on the third day. And he said, and if he didn't raise from the dead, we are always still in our sins without any hope. But thank be to God that Jesus indeed conformed scriptures. You know, Christ, he died and he was buried, but he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And today, that's why we're celebrating here. That's why we come together with this crazy idea of like praying and praising this invisible God, because we believe with all our hearts that this is all truth. We have experienced as well in our hearts and in our lives the life of Jesus in us. So this morning, you know, our hearts are full of joy. Our hearts are full of gratitude for the resurrection of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And just as those men that was like walking and talking with Jesus in the road of Emmaus, you know, they were like, they said like, didn't our hearts burn within us when he walked and when he talked with us? Just like the women that were like amazed, just like Peter that could not believe and he was so excited. Well, today, after more than 2,000 years, we are here and we are amazed. We are excited. We are saying, thank you, Jesus, for coming. Your death on the cross, your resurrection, it was not in vain. Here we are, and we are praising him on this day. And many people all over the world, think about this. They are doing the very same thing that we are here doing, praising God, thanking Jesus for his coming. That has changed everything. Hey, he came to forgive us. He came to save us. He came to give us a life which we are not born with. I want you to think with me about that. You know, that's the words of Jesus in the book of John, verse 10, chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. I came, Jesus said, so that they may have life and have life to the full. See, Jesus, he came with a purpose. And that purpose was to transform your life, to transform my life with his life. That's why he came. That's the purpose for his coming. And I remember when I was in my before Christ life, and all of us here, we probably, you know, have a before Christ and after Christ. And you remember, you know, living your own life and, you know, and thinking like, I remember thinking to myself, you know, it's like, what is this life that people talk about that Jesus came to give that I don't have? You know, I was at that time 17 years old, full of life. I was living, you know, on the top of my game. I thought I was like full of life. But things changed very fast. And I found myself a young person, you know, with this big hole, with this emptiness, with everything going on in my life. I still had this empty place here in my heart that nothing else that I was doing and believing and thinking could fill that hole that I had inside of myself. But thankfully, you know, people came around with their testimony about Jesus, I thank God for the investment of people that came and opened up God's word and showed me, you know, the purpose that Jesus came. He came to give me a life that I didn't have. And he called that life, life abundantly. See, I had life. You probably had life as well. But we didn't have life abundantly. We didn't have life to the full. And that's why Jesus came, so that we could experience a life that it's completely different than just the life that me and you, we were born with. It's a life of the Spirit of God inside of us. So I understood, I was presented, and I was invited to take part of this new birth. It's a birth that Jesus, when he was talking to this man that was very religious, this man called Nicodemus, Jesus was talking to him. And in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus told this religious man, he said, "Very truly I tell you, Nicodemus, I know you, but very truly I tell you, you cannot come to my kingdom unless you are born again." And then Jesus goes on to say, you know, flesh give birth to flesh, but spirit give birth to spirit. So don't be surprised, Nicodemus, of me asking you to be born again so that you can have life and life more abundantly. And I know, you know, at 17 years old, I understood that. I recognized that, yes, Jesus is the one that he said he is. And I decided by faith to open up my heart and receive him as my Savior, to experience this life that I knew that I didn't have. And I remember reading this as if it was today, reading in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. It says this, "But to all... to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to them to become children of God. They are reborn." Think about that. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion and plan, but they have a birth that comes from God. And I remember that for the very first time in my life, I experienced this new life. It was the life of God in me. And I'm telling you, that changed everything for me. My life was never the same when I met the Savior Jesus Christ, when I understood why he came to this world. So, you know, here we are on this Easter Sunday. And I believe, you know, a couple good questions for us all to be asking this morning is, number one, have I received this life abundant that Jesus came to give? Have I done it? When have I done that? And then the second question that it's important for us this morning to consider is, am I living and enjoying the life abundantly that Jesus came to give it for me? And if you don't mind, just in a few more minutes here, I just love to talk about this abundant life and how this abundant life has the potential and the power to change our life, past, present, but also future. And you will see that, like, wow, you know, Jesus came to transform us for sure. For example, when we think about our past, and I know, you know, in a group as big as this one, the past can be very hard for many of us. You know, mistakes, wounds, regrets, bad memories, bad decisions that we have made, bad decisions that others have made toward us. But see, Jesus knew that. He knew all that. And that's why he came, to give you a new life that you didn't have before. He says in Psalms 103, verse 12, it says this about our past. It says that he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Concerning our sins, concerning our wrongdoings, Jesus came to die on the cross for that. In 1 John 1, 9, I love this portion of scripture. It says that each one of us, if we humble ourselves, and if we admit to him about our sins, yes, I am a sinner. I am missing the mark that you created me for. If we admit our sins, if we simply come clean about them, he won't let us down. He will be true to himself. He will forgive us of our sins, and he will purge our conscience and purge our hearts from all the wrongdoings that we have done in our lives. I love Isaiah 43:25. He says, you know, it is I, yes, I am the one who takes care of your sins, of your past. That's what I do. And I don't keep a list of your sins. I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says that if anyone is in Christ, and if Christ is in you, you are a new creation. You are a new person. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So when it comes to our past, Jesus came to solve that for us, to forgive us of our sins, and to give us this new life, to make us new in him. And the difference that that makes, it's huge. It's huge. It gives us, as we heard here today someone say, it gives us freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Freedom from the hurts, from the scars. Freedom from the bad habits of our past. Freedom from decisions that we made that affected others. And now our past can be settled because of Jesus Christ. It's not that we don't have a past, but it is settled because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So the abundant life, it's a provision for our past, but also the abundant life, it's a provision for our present. And I don't know about you, you know, you came here today. I don't know what you are dealing with in this very present moment. You know, it might be a challenge that nobody knows. It might be problems that it's way beyond what you can, you know, fix in the moment. It can be fear of the unknown. It could be like a lack of faith and hope for your life and those around you. But see, Jesus knew that, and he came for that, to change your very present with the life that is in him. It's the abundant life. And he said in Isaiah 41:10, he said, "Do not fear, for I am with you." Can I say this to you this morning? Jesus, the one that rose from the dead, he promised, and he is true to his promises. And he said, "I am with you. Please do not fear. Do not be dismayed. I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you in the palm of my hand. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you," Jesus said. And you know what? This is what I'm going to do, that it's going to transform your life forever. Not only am I going to deal with your past by forgiving you, but I'm going to put inside of you my spirit. And it is my presence with you always. And that's exactly what Jesus did. You know, on that resurrection day, long, long time ago, Jesus told the disciples, you know, "I am going to my Father, but don't worry. I'm going to give you the Spirit." And we know today that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, it is one. So the presence of the Spirit in the life of those who receive Jesus Christ, it is the very presence of God day by day with us. And the Spirit, it is in us with a purpose. See, if you go back in reading this book of John, chapter 10, it says, you know, Jesus, as the good pastors, he said that, like, my sheep, they hear my voice and they know me and I know them and I call them by name. See, a key thing in this abundant life is that you and me, we can hear the voice of our shepherd. We can know for a fact that he knows our name. And we can have intimacy with God, intimacy with Jesus. That's a blessing in our present. Do you know what else that we have in our present? We have this that we are opening here today. We have God's word, and God's word, it's a provision to feed our spirit. This is spirit that God placed inside of us. We can feed it by God's word. Jesus, he said in Matthew 4:4, he said, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but he shall live by every word that comes from my mouth. So God's word becomes a provision of nourishment for us, for our lives in the present. So not only there is a provision for the past, not only he is with us with his word in the present, but also this abundant life, it is an amazing provision for our future. You know, sometimes the future can bother us, because we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you are here today and you are in a crossroad of life. And sometimes it's sad and bothering that you don't know what is going to happen. But Jesus knew that. And he came for that. And now our future, your future, can be in God's hands. And let me tell you, I have experienced that. My future in God's hands, it's way better than my future in my own hand. I cannot carry myself well. And maybe you can, you know, you can identify with me. But see, Jesus came. And as we trust in him, as we walk with him by faith, he has a provision for our future. I love Philippians 4:19, and I'm finishing right here. He said, you know, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. Provision for our future. He will meet all our needs through Jesus Christ. I love in 2 Peter, he said in verse 3 and 4, he said, you know, his divine power, think about this, his divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life. Now in the future, he's calling us for a godly life through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his goodness. And through this, he has given us his very great and precious promises. You have great and you have precious promises from God for your future. And do you know what these promises do? Continuing in the verse here, verse 4, this promise is that so that through them, you and me may participate in the divine nature. I mean, think about that. God wants you and me. It's part of the package of the life abundantly in Jesus Christ, that me and you can live in divine nature. Our lives can be different. And not because we are better, but it's just because Jesus is with us. Jesus is inside of us. I have hope for my life now. I have God's word now, you know, pointing me the direction. I have a provision for my past. I have a provision for my past, but I have a provision also for my future. And, you know, about the future, I want to close with this. On that very first day of the resurrection, Jesus also told the disciples that he was going to the Father, but he said, I am going to come back. It is what we read in John 14, 1 to 3. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If you were not so, would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And folks, just like we believe with our whole hearts about the resurrection, we also believe with our whole hearts that God has a plan for eternity. That life, it's not only this 60, 70, 80, 90 that he allows us here, but he has a plan of eternal life that has no end. And he came so that you could have that life, life abundantly, eternal life. And now we can live our lives trusting, believing that, yes, his plan for my life, it's way better than the best plan that I could come up with. Way better. Way better. And now we can live our lives with a purpose, with the life of Jesus in us. A purpose to live daily an abundant life. A purpose to ask Jesus, Jesus, what it's like for me today to enjoy, to follow you and the life abundantly that you gave me. And we can do that. And we can hear from him through his word a direction for our lives. And that is very good news for us today. In Jesus Christ, there is a provision of life abundantly. We can all receive that in our hearts, and our lives can be changed, past, present, but also future. Amen. Let's just pray and close this part. Father, we thank you so very much that your coming was not in vain. You came to transform this whole world, life by life. And here we are on this other hill in 2025, participating in this service. But there is a purpose. You are here with a purpose. You are here for a purpose. Your life counts. You are loved by God. He came for you. And if you are here today, and maybe you can identify with me, when I was much younger, living my life and thinking that I had this full life, just to find out, no, I did not. Maybe you have not yet opened your heart to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And your friend Ray here would love to invite you on this Easter day, Resurrection Day, to open up your heart and to say to Jesus, Jesus, I don't have that life that you came to give. I am a sinner. And I'm lost in my opinions and the opinions of others. But Jesus, as I hear, and maybe I heard before, and I could not believe, but today, maybe, for the first time, I am believing. I'm believing that I need a Savior in my life. I'm believing that I need this new life, life more abundantly that you came to give. And Jesus, I open my heart to you. If you are here this morning and you haven't done it, this prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would love to invite you to pray with me. Jesus, come into my heart to live. Be my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins, dealing with my past. Thank you for being a provision for my very present. And only you know what is in store in my present. And thank you, Jesus, for the promise that my future is in your hand. I receive you as my Savior in Jesus' name. And if you pray this prayer, if this prayer was the desire of your heart this morning, congratulations for receiving the Savior, Jesus Christ, and the life abundantly in you. You have now the Spirit of God inside of you, but also you have a group of people that are walking, helping each other, encouraging each other by faith. You are welcome here. And if you have made this decision, important, probably the most important decision of your life today, I would love to talk to you. Maybe Drew, you can come to us and say, Drew, do you know what? In this sunny day here on this hill, I decided to open up my heart to Jesus Christ and received him as my Savior. Hey, that would be like huge, huge. And if you pray that prayer, please let us know. And for all of us here this afternoon, yes, he came so that you and I could have life and life more abundantly. And may the Lord help us to walk close with him, to enjoy and to know more about his plan for the life that he has in purpose for each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your word. It is in your name that we pray and thank you. Amen.